So once again, good evening, brothers and sisters. Welcome, welcome once again, everybody. You want to know a fun fact of the day? Here's the fun fact of the day. These readings, as you just heard, are so rare that in 20 years of being a priest, I've never preached on them, not even once. It's a funny thing. You know, we got this cycle of readings, then we got the seasons, and then we've got a few feast days. And there's a few readings that they fall through the cracks. They get lost. And this is one of them. So it's a special occurrence today. You know, who knows? Maybe it'll be 20 more years before you ever hear this again. But, you know, just a little tiny thought to share with you here this evening. You ever heard of the great philosopher Jean-Jacques Rousseau? 17th century French philosopher. He used to believe that the only force that ever corrupted us to do what was wrong was society. He said if you could take a child and raise him, apart from the corrupting influence of society, that child would grow up perfect and pure and faultless. It's worth noting that Rousseau never raised children. Okay? And your priest has never raised children either. You'll be grateful to know. Okay? But you don't have to be a philosopher, and you don't have to raise children to understand that we don't need society to tell us to do what's wrong. We do that very well all on our own, even when we know what's better. Heck, half the time because we know what's better. True confessions, when I was a little boy, we had a stove with an electric coil on top. And when you turned it on, to me, it glowed red, looked exactly like a piece of candy. So my mother said, stay away from the stove. But I knew better than she did. I knew what was good for me, and I didn't care what she said. And I reached up and I grabbed, and I quickly found out that it wasn't candy. Okay? A case study in what we call original sin, which shows up in our first reading today, the reading from the book of Genesis. And just three simple things that I want to talk to you today about original sin. First of all, what is it? Secondly, what has it done to us? And thirdly, what do we do about it? Okay, so first of all, original sin. You hear the story from the book of Genesis, and is there anybody who hasn't heard the story of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden? Here's something very important to remember when you hear that. Even though Genesis uses figurative language, it still describes something, some event, that actually did happen. Because here's what we believe. That mankind, somewhere back along the ages, let his trust in his creator die in his heart. And misusing his freedom, freely chose in a specific action to disobey God's will. This is what the original sin was. We let our trust in our creator die in our heart. And misusing our freedom, chose to disobey every sin that has ever occurred since. Has been a disobedience of God and a lack of trust in his goodness. Okay, so please understand, when you hear the story of original sin from the book of Genesis, you're tempted to dismiss it as some kind of fable. I want you to understand, somewhere back along the line, somebody actually made a real free choice against God's will, because suffering and illness and death and decay and ignorance and all the things to which this mortal coil is subject was no part of your Heavenly Father's plan. You say, why is it so hard for me to do good and so easy for me to do what's wrong? Why do I do the evil I don't want to do and do not do the good that I do want to do? What's wrong with this creature? Somewhere back along the line, we were set out of whack in three ways. One with God, one with others, and once with ourselves. First thing that original sin did, it threw us out of our good, holy, loving relationship with our Heavenly Father. And you hear that in the first reading. Soon as Adam and Eve commit the sin, what do? They run away from God. They're scared of God. They hide from God. This beautiful relationship of love and trust that was supposed to exist between God, our Creator, and ourselves, like a father to a son, like a father to a daughter, has been lost. And we no longer love and trust God. And we think that his commandments are not in our best interest, that we know better than God, and that he's keeping us from good things, kind of like how I was with that stupid stove back when I was a little boy. Question for you here this evening. When God gives a commandment, does he give you the commandment, let's say, thou shalt not commit adultery? Does he tell us that because it's wrong? Or is it wrong because he tells us that? Which do you think? It's because it's actually wrong. Okay? Listen, our Heavenly Father commands us only for what's good. It's sort of like having an owner's manual to a car, and you know, like, don't put black strap molasses in the gas tank. It won't run. Now, if you think you know better than the maker of your car, you can go ahead and put molasses in your gas tank and see how well that works out for you. Okay? But when our Heavenly Father commands something, he knows it's for our good, but we think he's holding us back from something, and that beautiful trust has been deeply damaged, our relationship with God. Secondly, our relationship with one another, badly damaged, and you see this in the first reading. You start to see the blame game be played between Adam and Eve. So God says to Adam, he says, Adam, where'd you go? I'm looking for you, Adam. I can't see you anywhere. Adam, did you eat of the fruit of the tree that I told you not to eat from? Adam, you had one job, okay? Did you eat of the fruit of the tree? Why did you do that? And Adam says, it's not my fault. It's that woman, the one you put here with me. She did it all. And she says, oh, no, I did not. And here you find history's first marital argument. Okay. But do you see the discord that was never part of our Heavenly Father's plan? And the division and the accusation. Something interesting, I've mentioned this before. Do you know what the word devil means? It comes from two Greek words. Dia and balein. Literally, to tear into two. And the word Satan, I've mentioned this before as well. It's Hebrew. Hosatanas. It means the accuser. Now, no sooner has sin been committed than what do you see but division and accusation. Was never meant to be this way. And it's rife all through society, and you know it quite well. One of the clearest signs of the demonic in our own time are the deep divisions that we see. Because it's the Holy Spirit that unites, so it's the evil spirit that divides us. Man from woman, race from race, rich from poor, no part of your Heavenly Father's plan from the beginning. And the third thing, and perhaps the saddest of all, is that we're divided against ourselves. Now, this is something you almost have to experience or just think back to realize. But no sooner do you do what you know is wrong than you hate yourself for it. I think I mentioned this before, but that I knew this psychiatrist. He wasn't a Catholic. And he said, you Catholics, with your confession, you got the healthiest thing in the entire world, that confession is. Because let me tell you something, as a psychiatrist, I know whenever we do something that we know to be wrong, there's only two things we ever do about it. Either we open up and confess and admit it out loud to somebody else, and we hear them say, you're forgiven, it's okay. Or we beat ourselves up for it over and over again. It's the only two things we ever do. And the peace with which we are supposed to live within ourselves has been damaged, has been destroyed. Now understand, original sin did not change what God created. God created man and woman, male and female. He created them and he declared that they were good. And we are good. Not destroyed, but badly damaged. But God has not left us bereft. He hasn't gone to sleep or allow us to rot in our sins. He's not the clockmaker God who makes the world, sets it in motion, and sits back and watches it tick. He came to our rescue. That's what the gospel is all about. The evil one's been bound. Evil has been defeated in the person of Jesus Christ. Now the only thing left, that was for you and for me to embrace that and to choose it. And of all the things I could possibly say about that, just two this evening, just two. First of all, you must choose it, and freely. There's a lot of times in which we don't. Perhaps you've tried to keep God's commandments. Sometimes this is the case with people with chastity issues. Sometimes people have a hard time forgiving someone who's deeply hurt them. And they give up. They stop trying. Believe me, no matter how difficult it is, you must continue to want to do God's will. And this is why Jesus speaks about the sin against the Holy Spirit that can't be forgiven. Think about it this way. There's only one illness that a doctor can't cure. And that's the one from the sick person who won't admit that he's sick. And similarly, it's the hardened, unrepentant heart that doesn't even want to do God's will is the one heart that the Holy Spirit cannot enter into. The very first thing that we need to do is to will it and to want it. And here's what you do. You just say this prayer very, very simply. If you can't bring yourself to forgive, if you can't bring yourself to overcome a sin, you say, Lord, you put the desire in my heart. Let that be your prayer. But please, never stop willing. It's the one thing without which God can't work. And the second thing we need to do, and this is a lot harder, is we need to learn how to trust the Lord in the very things that we don't understand. Something I learned about from St. Francis de Sales has helped me very greatly, and I'd like to share it with you here this evening, okay? So a couple Christmases ago, somebody gave me an enormous tub of caramel corn. Okay? Inspired by the devil, they gave me an enormous tub of caramel corn. So many calories in this thing, it could power Lee's Hill South for a week. Well, I said to myself, I'm not going to have any of that caramel corn. Until one evening, I had a piece of caramel corn. Big mistake. Because what do you think happened next? I had another piece. And another piece, and another piece, and so on and so on. And you know, it goes to prove something that I've known all along. It's what I'd like to call the peanut effect. There are certain things that once you do them, it's hard to do it just once. It becomes habit forming. It becomes its own perpetuity factor. And St. Francis de Sales says there's two things that either help us or hinder us from doing God's will. And this is praising God when we don't understand, or complaining to God when we don't understand. Plenty of life you don't understand, okay? Plenty of things happen, great, great mysteries. We'd love to ask God why, but you know, he's told us through as he said to his apostles on the night before he died, when you do see me again, you won't have any questions to ask, but now live in faith. There's plenty of things we'd love to know the answer for. And it seems to be completely unexpected, unexpected to us, but not unexpected to God. Something goes wrong, we say, if only for that one thing hadn't gone wrong, so much else would have worked out perfectly. Nothing went wrong. Everything went perfectly because God is unfolding in our midst each and every moment. Not only his providence, but let me tell you, a perfect providence. Now, there's only two things we can do about that. Either trust God and you praise him, or you refuse to trust God and you complain. St. Francis de Sales says that when you trust God, even when you don't understand, it makes it easier to do his will. It becomes habit-forming, like eating caramel corn, right? Can't stop. And the opposite occurs when we fail to trust the Lord. When we complain to God, it makes it harder and harder and harder to do his will. Listen, if God could get you to heaven without suffering, believe me, he'd do it. But sometimes it's only by hammer blows that he forms our soul into his own image. And a lot of times, in spite of the fact that's going on, we have to stand fast in faith and trust him. But in so doing, Christ's victory takes root in our souls. So just a little tiny thought about original sin here this evening. Divides us from God, divides us from one another, divides us even from ourselves. But our Lord has not left us bereft. If we'll have the will to keep his commandments and the grace to trust, even when we do not understand, it's why I'm so fond of saying that if today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Amen.